The fifth reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known."
Some years ago, the landlord of our local pub, Hardy's Well, now sadly closed, let us sing carols in his pub. And about 80 of the congregation actually came from the church, and they all turned up. And I think he thought Christmas had come early, actually, because they all bought drinks. And I asked him, and I said to him, "Look, is this the first time you've ever done this, had carols in your pub? Is it okay?" And he said, "Yeah, it's great. It's wicked." By which I think he meant it was good, not bad. And what we'd done is we'd come to his place of work, and actually he lived above his place of work, so we came to his home, and we sang about a God who left his home to bring us home. Coming home for Christmas is the theme of all our Christmas services. Home for Christmas, I don't know if you know Chris Rea's Driving Home for Christmas, that rather cheesy song. It's kind of fun. We thought we might incorporate it, but we didn't. Not everybody can get home for Christmas. Not everybody wants to go home. But the Christmas story is about the true God who came, who left his home to bring us home. And so I want to talk about that tonight from this passage. And you'll see the reading that we had, John 1. It's right at the very back of your carol service booklet. I'm going to refer to that. And I'm going to talk about it in terms of light. I'm going to talk about us walking in darkness. I'm going to say there is a true light. And then I'm going to say how he lights the way home. The people walked in darkness. This is my first point. We walk in darkness. Now, there's something great about singing carols, but they're full of things that actually don't fit into our modern world. Choirs of angels, virgin birth, Son of God, an angel 3 that would make your average person roll their eyes. But Christmas has got a kind of a resilience. It keeps bouncing back every year. We don't want to do without it. Why is that? Well, I think it's this message that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Or to quote a line from here, verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. I quite enjoy reading a journalist called Caitlin Moran. She writes in the Times, and she was writing last week, and she said that 2016 has been a bit of a crisis year, she said. And the trouble is with the crisis is that we don't quite know what the crisis is about. I mean, we've had Brexit, we've had Trump. Sorry if you're an American and you voted for him. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you. But it feels as if it's like the Wild West. We don't really know what's going to happen. Everything is unpredictable now. We don't know what's going on in Europe, in some of the nations in Europe. Now, she puts it down to the way that we live our lives now, that we have somehow, and you may or may not think this is true, but we've kind of connected to the internet in such a way that when people do connect, as it were, to the internet, there's a disinhibition that comes. It's rather like drinking a couple of pints of beer, really. And so people sort of say things and do things just casually, as if, well, that's all right, I'll just do that, you know. I mean, I was reading comments on Tiger Woods' return to golf, and it's incredible what people have written. They would never say that in person. But it's this kind of Wild West feeling. What's going on? And there's another darkness that's around. It's a sadness, really. I was picking up my daughter from Stockport station the other day, and I was talking to the station commander. He said, I'm really sorry, the train's late. I said, oh, that's all right. He says, they're always late. And we always have, it's been chaos on the line. And I said, why is that? He said, there's been a jumper. He said, there's been a suicide. And then he said this. He said, there's one a week in November and December. There's one a week. What's going on? I'm sorry if your own life has been touched by something like that. So to say the world is in a dark place is to say that there is evil, there is suffering, there is sadness, and we don't know how to solve it. And the problem is not just out there, it's also in here. We can't be as good as we want to be. And this is the clue that into the darkness comes the light. If there's going to be any light, do you see, it's got to come from outside. It can't come from us. And so the first reading had the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. It didn't say, you know, a great light came from them. It said a great light has come upon them. On them, this light has shone. It's just full of grace. It's just come, this light. And so the otherworldly sort of feeling of Christmas with all the angels and the virgin birth and all of that begins to make sense. If I can quote a popular song, Christmas is God's hello from the other side. Isn't it really? I've come to get in touch. Now I know Adele was actually getting in touch with an old boyfriend, and I don't mean that. But Christmas is actually God's hello. I'm here. Light has come. I know you're in the dark, but I'm not holding it against you. I've come. Is it me you're waiting for? The light shines in our darkness. That's the first thing about Christmas. Even though we're in a dark place, the light comes. The second thing is that he is the true light. This person that we'll be worshipping today. As you sing carols, you kind of just get caught up in it, don't you? And you sort of start to feel, I can believe this. I can believe it. Look at what that reading said about the one who comes. The claims about Jesus in this passage are astonishing. In the beginning was the Word. He's called the Word. That's God's revelation, God's explanation. And it says he was in the beginning. In ancient times, you didn't give somebody your CV. You didn't say where you worked. You said, who's your family? What's your genealogy? Who's your father? Who's your grandfather? Where did you come from? Well, this is an extraordinary CV. He was in the beginning. He came from right back then.
Before anything was made, he was there. In fact, I would say, the reason you live and you breathe is because of him. These are great things to say about Jesus.
Brendan Wine once put it this way. He said, if you were to draw and make up a list of all the influential people that had ever lived, and you made a list here, and you'd have Jesus in it, and you'd have Gandhi in it, and you'd have Mandela in it, probably, and Martin Luther King, and various other people on this list of really influential people in the world. You know, I'd probably feel Jesus would be at the top, but there you are. There's the list. And on this side, you make another list. And these are all the people who've claimed to be God. And it's a list full of total wackos, crazy people. But you know, here's the interesting thing. Jesus Christ is the only person on both lists. None of these other people would have dreamed to have claimed to be God. But Jesus is on both. He's unique. But you might be saying, you know, I love Christmas, but it's just a lovely fairy tale. And I do it once a year, and I kind of make believe it's with Santa and Jesus. All the rest, it all kind of comes together. Is it a myth? Well, Tolkien, who's the author of Lord of the Rings, I'm a bit of a Tolkien fan. He was in a conversation with C.S. Lewis before C.S. Lewis became a Christian. C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And they were having a conversation in Oxford, and they were walking along Addison's Walk. It's a very famous walk near Magdalen College. And C.S. Lewis said, you know, this whole Christian story, this Christmas story, their lies breathe through silver. And Tolkien said, no, they're not a myth. This story does not begin once upon a time. It's a real birth. It's real teaching. It's a real Jesus really touching the leper. He's healing a blind man. He's really raising a child from the dead. He's coming alive himself. Tolkien said it's full of all the things we long for in fairy tales. But Jesus is the reality to which all the other stories point. He's the real thing. He's the knight who slays the dragon. He's the beauty that liberates the beast. He's the hero that awakens you with a kiss. Actually, he liberates and awakens you through a cross. And darkness came upon the land when he died, for he bore our darkness for us. Amazing. That's the Son of God. So we're in the dark, and now the light has come. Okay, that's great so far, but what do we do now? And so I want you to look at your passage and verses 9 to 13. This is the challenging bit. And I kind of wondered how to say this. I'm not sure. But here it is. The simple thing, the true light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to those who were his own, but they didn't receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. Very simply, if you take him into your home and life, he will take you into his home and life. It's as simple as that. There are two negatives, you see. He came to the world didn't know him, didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, they didn't receive him, go away. Bit of a disaster. I used to work for Matchbox Toys many years ago. I used to work for Rolls-Royce, actually, in Matchbox Toys, which is kind of weird, you know, big cars and little cars. And when I was working for Matchbox, I was told this story, actually by the owner. The owner was called Les Smith. And Les had gone to, he'd gone to Cornwall. He'd gone yachting in his yacht. He'd made a mint, really, and he had his yacht, and he was going around in his yacht. And he thought, I'm going to visit my little factory in Cornwall.
And so he just sort of turned up in his sailing gear, you know, as you kind of look all scruffy and that sort of thing, and his hair was all over the place and stuff. And he arrived at the factory in Cornwall, and he said, he saw the security guard, and he said, "Hi, my name's Les Smith, and I've come to see my factory." And the security guard said to him, "Yeah, my name's Muhammad Ali. Get lost." Actually, he didn't use those words, but I can't repeat them in church. So Les Smith says, "Well, if you ring this phone number, you'll discover two things. I really am Les Smith, and secondly, your job's right on the line at this moment, you know." And so he let him in, but I mean, what a moment! What a moment! The owner had come! What have they done? Clear off. You know, I kind of think in the UK that there's a tendency to deal with Jesus in sort of the way that we deal with some of the refugees that come. We're happy for somebody else to take them in, but we just don't want them to come anywhere near us. And certainly not in our home. But I want to say to you, fear not. Don't be afraid. Yes, there is a negative. You go, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know that I could do this." But if you take him in your own way, if you take him in and just say, "Look, I need you," do you know what he gives you? He gives you the right to be called a child of God. Not everybody's a child of God like this. You would be supernaturally reborn into God's family. It is a wonderful and extraordinary thing. And as a member of his family, you will be led home to a place that you've always longed for. This takes time. No relationship is instant. I know that millennials apparently want instant everything. And the only two things that you can't have that are instant are job satisfaction and relationships. They both need working at. And the relationship with God needs working at. Read a gospel with a friend. I ran a course just reading Mark's gospel. No agenda, just let's read it to understand it. Let's find out who he is. Is he believable? Is he believable? Because this is so important. This is God's hello. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet. Hello from the other side. Amazing that God Almighty should want to say that to you. Just say hello back.